Welcome to another episode of Startup Health Now, the weekly show celebrating the healthcare transformers and changemakers reimagining healthcare. My name is Stephen Krein, and on today's episode, we're sitting down with the legendary Dr. Toby Cosgrove, the president and CEO of the Cleveland Clinic, and we're going to talk about his transformation of not only the clinic, but also of healthcare. This is a great episode.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. Well, I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
Dr. Cosgrove, welcome back to Startup Health Now.
Oh, it's great. You guys are doing a great job and growing like crazy.
Thanks for once again rolling out the red carpet. I think Cleveland Clinic, among all the different hospital systems in the world, is uniquely embraced entrepreneurship and startups from the very beginning, and you know, been a great partner of ours. But I'm fascinated by really how you have continued to innovate here, despite the size, despite the age of the organization. You have continued to reinvent it. I'd love to kind of dig into what you've been up to over the last 12 months since we sat down with you last.
Gosh, it's hard to remember where one year started and another one left off, but there's been an awful lot of things going on. One of the things is we're now at the end of a 10-year journey in Abu Dhabi. We've opened our facility in Abu Dhabi about 6 months ago. We have 200 physicians there and 3,500 individuals on our Cleveland Clinic caregivers. It's up and functioning, and we're pretty excited about that, and it's not easy to do something 7,000 miles away. One of the other things that we have done is we are starting to really embrace virtual visits. I think we probably talked about HealthSpot, but we've now rolled out HealthSpot in about 25 locations across the state.
Tell us about HealthSpots for those who are not familiar with it.
Well, HealthSpots looks like an overgrown photo booth, and you go into it, and there's a screen with you can see your caregiver on the screen, and they can see you, and you have the ability to listen to your heart, look in your eyes, ears, nose, throat, look at your skin, take a history, etc. And it's a contained organ cabinet. That has been now placed in supermarkets and pharmacies, even on a college campus.
And is that for new patients, existing patients, people you don't know? I mean, tell me a little bit of the target.
This is all comers. These are people who need to have the access placed in another location. We think it's going to be great for distance locations. We also think it'll be great in campuses. It's an equivalent to CVS, but with a caregiver back at the Cleveland Clinic remotely instead of in the location with you.
So a unique offering, obviously. How do you staff up for that, and how do you even think about doing that inside an organization like this?
Well, we are putting together a whole, essentially a bunker of people who are going to be responsible for seeing consults in those locations. And it's right beside our bunker with EICU, which we've now rolled out across all of our facilities so we can monitor people. And just this morning, we had the discussion about should we have some sort of monitoring centrally for every bed in our organization.
So what does that mean?
We do that. Well, we monitor anybody's hooked up to electrocardiogram. Mm-hmm. We monitor their electrocardiogram centrally, so it's not done on the nurse's station. It's done centrally. Should we not be able to visualize a patient in bed centrally? So mm-hmm. when someone is trying to get out of bed, we call the fire department and say, you know, keep them there. Or when somebody's starting to get sick, we can actually see them with have all of the capabilities to do that. Right now, for example, and we're seeing the ability of a physician to, on his mobile device, see where his patients are, see their vital signs, see the drugs that they're on, and their EKGs, their chest x-rays, etc., all on their mobile device through a organization, through what we call IRIS.
So Cleveland Clinic was such a physical – a brand that was represented by a physical location. Now what you're talking about is everything outside the hospital that connects them back.
Right. Let's take dermatology.
Yeah.
If you've got a rash, do you want to get in your car, drive in, go in the parking garage, go to the doctor's office, wait, sit and wait, and see the doctor, then repeat the process? Or you just want to get your Skype out and say – here's my rash. What do you think? And so now we've set that up.
So how aggressively are you taking that across all the different specialties and subspecialties at the hospital?
Well, that's the plan. We think that post-operative visits ought to be run that way. We think home monitoring can be done that way. We think that we have a program where you can get a opinion by logging in with your Skype. And having a conversation with a Cleveland Clinic caregiver, we think that this begins to take care to the patient instead of the patient coming to get the care.
And so when you look out 10 years, what does the Cleveland Clinic brand mean, and how do you want it to?
Well, I hope the Cleveland Clinic brand is always going to mean quality and an affordable cost, and that's really what we're driving at. And what we're really right now doing is talking about access. How we can drive the access to the organization widely. And I think this is a great way to do it.
And how many of the solutions do you develop in-house versus partner with startups and other young organizations that want to kind of close the gap?
We do both. I hate the not invented here syndrome. I think there's opportunities for us to partner, and we're always looking for good partners.
And do you have a process and a team that kind of is handling all the startups coming in so you can kind of funnel them through an experience? I know you're famous for the Cleveland Clinic experience.
Right.
If you're an entrepreneur coming in, is there the same kind of experience that they can have kind of working with you?
Yeah, what we did is we appointed one of our guys to be our technology scout, and we expect him to go and comb for new technologies as many places as he can find to go do that. Then bring them back, and we're also encouraging people to develop them ourselves.
And how much of that innovation, when you say ourselves, is coming from clinicians and physicians and people on your team versus just a department that's a specific group of people that are developing?
Well, I think it happens both ways. I mean, it happens for physicians seeing a need, and I think it also comes from the IT group, the finance group, et cetera. So it's everywhere, and we try to honor it and celebrate it and reward it.
So one of the things we've noticed is that doctors are joining and or even launching companies, becoming partners in as co-founders of startups. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen it like that. What do you think the biggest shift is in terms of them even having the confidence to kind of go at something and think they can do something? It's so and the antithesis of what they've been trained to do in many cases.
Yeah, well, certainly the entrepreneur spirit is growing up across the United States at the same time. That, mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that's made it easier for physicians to do that is IT. I mean, you don't take a lot of equipment or a lot of backup to come up with an app or a concept for a company or get it up and originate it. That was not true if you're going to try and develop a new drug or a new heart valve or a new pacemaker. It takes substantially more. So I think the ease of entering into innovation in healthcare has gotten substantially easier.
And if you were an entrepreneur today and you were thinking about a problem or a solution that you had, what's the best kind of – let me actually rephrase that. What do you need at the Cleveland Clinic that entrepreneurs can kind of come to you with solutions on?
Gosh, the things that we need we probably haven't even thought about yet. We need ways that there are three things we're driving. We're trying to drive access. We're trying to drive quality, and we're trying to drive lower cost. And finally, part of quality is the patient experience. So we're looking at all of these aspects and how we can begin to drive them. And at the same time, quality is seen not just as the patient experience. It's also seen as new cures, new drugs, new everything. We have the weird experience, frankly, of being out here in Cleveland, Ohio, and no one's going to come see us unless we're trying to do it better.
Do you think, is there a nice flow of external innovation coming in and to kind of pitch you on ideas and kind of, or is it, can it always be turned up?
We can always see more, but we're getting pitched all the time. For example, I was just in England and a guy came up to me with a patch that he's got that will monitor blood pressure, respirations, your oxygenation, et cetera, wearable, go to the shower with it, doesn't sweat off. And can you imagine disconnecting people from their wires in a hospital? How great would that be? But we see the stuff all over the time, all the time.
So what'd you tell them to do?
I said, you know, I tell them, send me his gear, send me his information.
Good, good, good. So when you think about specifically entrepreneurs today, building digital health companies, building companies for this market, what are you seeing? What mistakes are you seeing made? And what would you tell entrepreneurs if you could talk to them all with one microphone?
I'll tell you what. You know, over time, the biggest mistake that I have seen entrepreneurs make is who they pick as their partner. And so often, they'll just pick the closest person that they know in the healthcare field and go there. And then that either doesn't get any traction because they don't have enough scale, or they don't have enough prestige, or they don't have enough voice, or to give good enough advice. You got to pick your partners really well. I've seen an awful lot of mistakes made that way.
Yeah, it's starting off wrong, and then being stuck in that situation.
Well, and I mean, just waste time, money, effort, and frequently you don't get good advice.
How often do you get tapped into by other CEOs of other hospital systems or even other large organizations that want to figure out how you did it and what you're doing? Because you've inspired others to kind of look towards embracing innovation in a much more aggressive way. And I spoke this morning on stage here talking about the CEOs that get it, Jeff Immelt, yourself, Nick Turkle, and others who really understand it. But as a model for other organizations?
I don't see a lot of CEOs looking for this, surprisingly. You know, I guess it came from my curiosity around cardiac surgery. I used to go all over the place looking for new ideas, and, you know, I wasn't bright enough to think about all these ideas lying in my bath thinking about it. So I would go and find other people's ideas, and sometimes I'd take a little bit of their idea and a little bit of something I've been working on and put it together, and you had something that moved the ball ahead. But I'll tell you, one of my big failures at the Cleveland Clinic was when I came on board, I wanted every doctor to take what I called an innovation trip. Go someplace, just go learn something. Go someplace out of your comfort zone. Go, if you hear about something, go check it out. And I could not get the docs to understand the value of that.
Why do you think?
I think that we were generally, as a group, a little myopic, looking at exactly what we've got facing us the next day, and it's hard to step back from that grind and go try something, go look for magic bullet someplace, if you will.
Still hasn't happened?
I haven't been. That was one I gave up on, and that's when I decided I'd have a scout go do that.
Okay.
And are trying to make some liaisons with people in different locations like yourself.
What inspires you?
What inspires me? I get excited about trying to make the organization a better organization so we can take better care of patients. It's just as easy as that. And if you look at the organization, it's everything we do is about just one thing, and that's trying to make it better for patients, whether it's having a hospital, whether it's having a clinic, whether having a job, whether running a medical school, whether doing research. It's all focused on the patient, and if you can, and that's exciting.
And who inspires you?
You know, I'm inspired by different people in different walks of life. One of the wonderful things I have now is a introduction to exciting people, leaders in all kinds of ways and all kinds of locations. And I think you have to appreciate how difficult it is to be an innovator and an entrepreneur. And, you know, the world is not desperate to have you change everything.
Right.
Most people are pretty don't want to change. And as a result of that, you know, you have to somehow get past the naysayers, the fact that you're probably going to fail the first time you try, and press on. I mean, I have a drawer full of things that failed. I have a drawer full of things the world wasn't ready for at the time that they came along.
You ready to open it back up again?
it's past its due date.
When you think back on your career, what were the biggest moments or people who influenced you at certain moments that kind of made a big difference? When you think back maybe as to those moments that really made a difference?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that there's one. You take one person or one event, you take bits from every place. I took bits from my experience in college. I took bits from my experience in Vietnam. And they all add up to whatever you are. I think probably, well, first of all, I believe in the crucible theory for and that.
Explain that. I want to.
Well, you know how steel is hardened in the crucible,
yep.
The heat. I had that experience in college. Turns out I'm dyslexic, and I almost flunked out of college. And the fact that I survived, I think, hardened me to being ready to fail and try new things and fail, and not being afraid of failing. I think that was a very seminal event for me.
And still plays a role today.
Absolutely does. Yeah. I wake up having nightmares about it every day.
And what are you interested in outside of work?
Well, you know, I've had a wonderful experience, and I have had great opportunities in sports. I've had great opportunities in spending time with on Nantucket and boating and so on, and I like that.
So, you know, I think each of the things you just discussed, and going even back to what you described as a future experience for delivering healthcare, when you look out 20 years, and if you could wave a magic wand, what do you think healthcare looks like and that experience is like?
I think healthcare is going to be way better than it is now. I think it's going to be who cares for you, where they're going to care for you, and how they're going to care for you, all going to change. And who's going to pay for it? It's going to change. I think it's going to be probably 20 years from now, 70% of it will be paid for by the government. I think the people that are going to care for you are going to be increasingly various mid-level providers, nurse clinicians, PAs, etc. I think you're going to get treated more and more outpatient and at home. And I think the quality is just going to go continuously up. So I think it's going to be much superior to where we are today, and it's going to be more coordinated and more affordable.
And global?
I think no question it'll be global. You know, if you look at it right now, healthcare is the last industry in the United States that has remained a cottage industry, and that's gradually consolidating. And I think it will continue. I can't see any reason that it won't. It has to continue to drive the efficiency of healthcare delivery, because we're just not getting paid in as much as we were. And so we've got to be more efficient. And you have to drive, that's going to require consolidation. And I think increasingly we're going to see global brands emerging. As I said, we opened up our opportunity in Abu Dhabi 6 months ago. And we have just sticking our toe in the water in London.
So we're going to wrap up with Abu Dhabi, because I want to hear a little bit about the hospital and what you've set up there, because I know it's all the latest and greatest in both technology and people. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the facilities, first of all, is amazing. And I have to tell you, the relationship. The relationship really was with the Mubadala, which is an arm of the Abu Dhabi government. And essentially, they were interested in two things, really making a business, and secondly, doing good for Abu Dhabi. And so what they did is they went out there, and by agreement, this is a long-term project. It's 15 years since we started seeing the first patient. They built the building, they're paying the salaries, and they're paying us a consulting and management fee. We've been involved in this from the site location right straight through building it. putting the organization together. It's 22 stories, 4.5 million square feet. It's a healthcare system which has outpatient and inpatient capabilities. My biggest concern about the whole thing, getting the right physicians. It turns out that it shouldn't have been. We had 9,000 doctors apply for privileges. We hired 200. 80% of them are coming from the United States.
Really?
And 20% from Europe. And a third of those physicians already have academic appointments. So this is a terrific group. One of the most recent ones we hired was one of the star cardiac surgeons from the Mayo Clinic, who's former Rhodes Scholar. So this is a great group, and we're off to a very exciting start.
Fantastic. Well, it was obvious to me when we first met 3 years ago that your view of entrepreneurship, your entrepreneurial thinking and leadership here at Cleveland Clinic, inspirational, but really you took action. From the very first time we met, you said, bring all your companies and your healthcare transformers to Cleveland Clinic. We came back for our third year showcase on the main stage. It's fantastic. I think what's really most impressive is you talk a lot, but you do a lot. And what's amazing about your thought leadership, but your action, is that you're doing things that only other people talk about. So thanks for spending time with us today. Thanks for, once again, hosting us here at the Cleveland Clinic Summit. And we look forward to doing more things together because you're just a pleasure to work with. Your entire team, Dr. Graham and others, have just been really phenomenal to work with. So
thank you. They're a great team. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.